What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Wednesday, March 4th, 2020. It's middle of the weekday, hump day, starting that long, slow glide down to Pauha on a Friday. We have got a lot to talk about today, a lot of stuff coming out of Super Tuesday. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, twiddling the dials, keeping us out of trouble, ready to answer the phone when you call on in with your comments, questions, and observations. Okay, Biden wins Texas. And nine other Super Tuesday states, the day they just announced Maine for him. Sanders took California and three more. So as of right now, Biden is the new front runner, but it's less than 100 delegates separate him from Sanders, who's firmly in second place. And already we've had Bloomberg is dropping out, and we're hearing rumors that Warren may be dropping out as well. So basically, Biden has seized control of the Democratic presidential contest with this string of Super Tuesday victories. And everybody's saying, you know, he's the new comeback king, because it was only a few days ago they were saying, well, especially before South Carolina, when they were saying, you know, his campaign's going nowhere. Bernie Sanders is unstoppable. But everybody's been working to basically get Sanders out of the lead. And Sanders is now out of the lead. And, you know, after Iowa and New Hampshire, you know, Biden was on the verge of being written off, but now he's come on back. Still, a lot of states to go here. Sanders could still pull it off. So, again, time will solve that mystery. So he did get California, the most delegate-rich state in the nation. And, of course, he got his home state, Vermont. Tucker Carlson was a little bit less than happy that Biden is the new front runner, saying that corporate Democrats are pinning their hopes on a gaffe-prone Joe Biden. And it's rather interesting. We reported, I think it was on Monday, where some of Biden supporters are saying that they are concerned about his gaffes and the things he says, like Super Thursday, and that he's running for the Senate. And there was apparently last night when he was introducing his wife and his sister, he got them mixed up. And then tried to joke it away by saying, well, they swapped places on him. I don't know. That implies they have assigned places. So he knows, turn to the left, introduce the wife, turn to the right, introduce the sister. And they were in the wrong place here. Now, Biden is promising that Beto O'Rourke will be in charge of the anti-gun initiative here. And Beto, of course, wants to take away all guns from everybody. So I think the way things are shaping up right now with Biden in the lead, I'm going to have to grit my teeth and support Trump this November. That's just going to have to be the way it is. I wasn't all that hot about Bernie Sanders, but I'm definitely not hot on Joe Biden. You know, Mr. Creepy Joe, you know, touch the kitties. I don't think so. Anyway, apparently there was a disruption when Biden was doing his victory speech, where some protesters came in with a sign saying, "Let dairy die," which I don't even know what that's about. They were yelling incomprehensibly, and they were grabbed and dragged off the stage by Biden security people. I don't know, little civility people, little civility here. Elizabeth Warren, poor Elizabeth Warren, didn't even win her home state. She came in third place. She lost that to Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders, and that's why we're hearing rumors, still unconfirmed. It's still a rumor, but she may be dropping her campaign. Tulsi Gabbard is piling on the insults, and basically what it is the candidates are got a good look at how the nation views them. By the way, Tulsi Gabbard's campaign emails now seem focused on returning her to her office in Congress. So I think she's getting ready to drop out as well. I still think she'd make a great vice president. I really do. Okay, so Bloomberg, good old Bloomberg. The only place he won wasn't even a state. It was American Samoa. And he got those five delegates. And that was it for $700 million. So he's dropped out. And apparently his own campaign manager was out there saying, yeah, it's time to quit this. And even though Bloomberg had a huge staff and he was paying them very well out of his own pocket, he's pretty much out of that now. Well, now that Biden is the front runner, Hillary Clinton is doubling down on her Bernie Sanders criticism, saying, "I don't think he'd be our strongest nominee." And again, everybody's making their decisions not in terms of who would be the best president for the American people, but who can beat Donald Trump. It's still that we've got to get Donald Trump out of the White House. And, you know, we would run Adolf Hitler if we thought Adolf Hitler would get Trump out of that office here. Now, here's an interesting little story. And this came out of Investment Watch blog. Apparently, Paul Begala slipped up in one of his communiques and says that the reason the DNC is keeping Bernie from getting a majority is they are aiming for a brokered convention. And everyone's talking brokered convention. Bloomberg, before he stepped down, was saying brokered convention was his only path to the presidency. But, of course, now he's dropped out. But he could come back for a brokered convention. But I still think it's going to be Hillary. I think Hillary's going to try. If they fail on a first ballot to get a Democratic nominee, Biden doesn't have that majority, okay, then it goes to a second ballot and the superdelegates can step on in and they can vote for anybody they want. All right, we're going to do a shout out now to our affiliates who are just now rejoining the network. And in other domestic political news here, Acting Director of National Intelligence Richard Grenell is stepping down from his post as ambassador to Germany. He's notified the White House he will resign from his role once Representative John Ratcliffe is confirmed by the Senate in that position. So let's talk about the coronavirus, because however good or bad it is, however potent it is or impotent it is, the damage to our culture, to our economy is very, very real here. So the NIAID director is out there saying, "I don't think that we're going to get out of this completely unscathed." Top CDC official tells Congress coronavirus almost qualifies as a global pandemic. But apparently there are such a thing as pandemic bonds that are out there. It's another form of derivative, those gosh awful dang derivatives that just play havoc with our economy. And the instant it's declared a pandemic, the investors in those bonds will lose their money. Can't have that happen. You know, better a million people should fall down dead from a non-pandemic than we inconvenience the investment class. And here's the latest breaking news. The World Health Organization is now admitting the fatality rate is higher than previously thought. And even worse, there are now two strains of COVID-19 spreading, called L and S. And apparently one of them is far more aggressive than the other. And that's the one that 70% of the patients currently have. That confirms that it is able to mutate, and that, of course, is a concern, because if it's mutated once, it can mutate again and again and again. Even worse, it could recombine with something else that's out there, and we could have a real problem. Worst case, real problem. Anyway, the more aggressive type is also the more contagious, which is why we have that 70% offset. All right, apparently there's an estimated 300 to 500 coronavirus cases already spreading across Oregon. Oregon is now getting this. And apparently this was from OregonLive.com here. Okay, article from Investment Watch blog. COVID-19 has a death rate that is about 34 times higher than the flu. I think that's an overstatement, but everybody's now starting to say that, yes, it does have a death rate, a current death rate or current fatality rate, 34 times higher or somewhat higher. Everybody's hemming and hawing about this whole thing. So you've heard a lot of people try to convince you COVID-19 is not that dangerous because flu kills far more people, which is true, but only because flu has infected far more people. The death rate from the flu is extremely low. Tens of thousands of Americans die from the flu each year. But if the coronavirus spreads all over the planet the way the flu does, the death toll could be far, far higher. This outbreak, at least here in the United States of America, is only in the early stages. And if it spreads like the flu, if it does become airborne because of its mutation, then we're looking at a serious, serious problem. All righty, let's go down here. All righty. GOP House Leader McCarthy is blasting the Democrats for politicizing coronavirus. They owe the American public an apology. And he's blasting the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee for running ads against Republican House members regarding the Trump administration's coronavirus response, which I think pretty much everybody agrees was kind of tepid. And it was purely political and purely about image and narrative control. Plus dumping it all off on Mike Pence. So if it does all go south, Trump will say, well, I trusted Mike Pence to do a really good job here. And Mike Pence has let me and the nation down. So, Mike, I don't know. You may not keep your job in the second term if you mess this up. What can I tell you? Apparently, Tony Fauci, presented a slideshow to Donald Trump trying to convince him that the National Institutes of Health are working as fast as they can on a vaccine and why it's probably going to be taking a lot longer than the 2 months that Donald Trump has been asking for. Donald Trump made that statement betraying his own lack of medical knowledge. All righty. Number of people infected with coronavirus outside China exceeds 10,000, according to the World Health Organization. I just saw a supercard on Fox News. 93,000 cases worldwide in 77 countries. That's the latest number. So, 77. That's that. This article is saying a total of 10,566 people. But if it's shot up to 93,000, wow. And again, they don't know that much about the virus. They don't have a lot of the baseline on this. It's totally unknown. They're struggling to sort of figure out what it is they're dealing with here. I mean, they know it's a coronavirus. They know there's two strains of it now. But estimates of the current fatality rate are all over the place. Estimates of who's got it are all over the place. Anyway, United Arab Emirates is closing all schools for the next 4 weeks. Cities are getting a little bit of a vacation here. Italy is closing all their schools and universities. The German minister has declared the outbreak a global pandemic. Italy is closing the schools and universities for 2 weeks. Multiple quarantine centers are being pre-planned in California, Washington, and Oregon. They're getting ready for rationing, possibly FEMA trailers as well, loaded with all that formaldehyde. Okay, we're going to take a phone call now. Steve in Florida, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. Just wanted to share a little bit of humor that somebody had tweeted, actually Chelsea Clinton had tweeted that Donald Trump isn't doing enough to stop COVID-19 and keeping the American people safe. And somebody tweeted back that more people have died who testified against your mother than have died from the COVID-19 virus here in the United States. I thought that was a pretty good comeback.
Yeah, that is a good comeback. I like that one. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Comeback. Absolutely. Yeah.
You mentioned the two different strains right now. It is mutating, and as we expect, it will probably several times over, which would nullify making a vaccine because by the time you finish it up, if you do the actual trials and take the time, a year, year and a half, by the time you get that year and a half, what you have is not going to be effective anyway, kind of like the percentages you're getting now for the flu vaccine anyway, around 27-30%. It's pointless. It's pointless. And then your pharmaceutical is going to have all this surplus vaccine, and either they'll have to make it a mandatory that you have to take it to be employed or whatever, force the American worker to put a roll up his sleeve to take the vaccine or else, or they'll ship it over to some third world country or start something in Africa and send it over there and vaccinate everybody over there, but they'll make sure they get their money, you know, because if you understand how it works in the pharmaceutical business, the vaccines and all the medications, when they do their trials, some of them don't pan out, and they lost a lot of money, so they must recoup it in some other way, probably pass on the debt to another vaccine or something else, but they'll charge you, and they'll make sure they get their money back. That research and development, they don't lose their money. They pass it on to some other vaccine or pharmaceutical itself. So I don't know. I just think it's pointless. It's pointless. More people have died from the regular flu than this thing here, and I'm going to stand by what I've been talking about. I don't see it. It's not something to be panicking about. And they are talking once in a while about comorbidities, two or more underlying health problems that people who have that would be vulnerable. And I agree with that 100%. Two or more comorbidities, yeah, this could be lethal for you. But then again, your regular flu is too. So no big difference there. You're still vulnerable to either coronavirus or the flu. That is what it is. I'm a little disappointed so many people are running with this in the mainstream media. Of course, this is great news for them. This is advertising dollars. People glued to the TV. But when it comes down to it, people start to say, wait a minute here. Somebody really pushed that button, and they got people all worked up. And then when the numbers come in, they're going to say, based on the total population, world population or population in the United States, they're going to say, what was all the big deal on this? I mean, I don't get it. More people died from this. More people have died from this. It didn't make sense other than it was a great excuse, the best excuse for a tanking economy. Perfect excuse. Won't saddle on Donald Trump's shoulders. It will be blamed on China, and the virus did all this mess, and it's not his fault, and he'll get back in 2020. Still standing by that theory.
Okay. Well, again, we don't want anybody to panic. We don't want anybody just encouraging people to be concerned and be aware and pay attention to the news and try and sort out between all the people over here saying it's no big deal and all these people over here saying it's a slate wiper. Somewhere in between is the truth, and we've all got to work on finding that. And I don't claim to have, you know, the answers on this either. I'm still searching myself.
I agree. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Have a great show.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go. Now, apparently up in Seattle, an Amazon employee has tested positive for COVID-19. This is apparently an internal email viewed by Epic Times. Twitter is encouraging their employees to work from home during the coronavirus scare. Twitter further also informed that the work-from-home system will be mandatory for Twitter employees based in the Hong Kong, Japan, and South Korea offices, due in part to government restrictions, adding that its criteria may evolve as per the situation, and it will further keep the employees updated on the matter. So a lot of people are, in fact, taking this very, very seriously. Poland has just registered its first coronavirus case. The Polish Health Ministry earlier today, confirmed the first case of coronavirus in the country. According to authorities, the patient is quarantined in a hospital in the western Polish city of Zielona Góra in stable condition. The infected person came to Poland from Germany, which is having their own problems with coronavirus. Hey, over in Flushing, New York, they had a man walking down the street with a hospital mask, and he just passed out on the sidewalk. And sort of reminds us of some of the videos coming out of Wuhan, where people were just falling over in the streets. So, again, not trying to cause a panic. Don't want you to be afraid. Just aware and concerned. That's all we want. Now, Donald Trump is donating his entire fourth quarter salary as president to the effort to confront, contain, and combat coronavirus. It's a nice gesture, Trump. It's nowhere near enough money to actually accomplish all that much. Fortunately, once you do a declaration that this is a threat to the nation, FEMA can come in with some $30 billion in emergency funding. We're going to take a break for commercials. Join us on the air. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
In the night, without a fight, you can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children alike.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And a reminder that Republic Broadcasting Network is having a fundraising drive. And we need your help to keep this station, keep this network on the air. Otherwise, we're going to have John Stedmiller out by the side of the road with a cardboard sign saying, "We'll broadcast truth for food." So the postal address where you can send a check or money order, or if you prefer anonymity cash, is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number where you can make a credit or debit card donation is 800-724-2719, extension 3. The network thanks you. Okay, let's go back to the phones here to Phil in California. Aloha, Phil. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Mike. I'll be sending a contribution shortly to you, so
thank you.
Just want to let you know that, Mike. Also, I love the Dorian Gray reference from yesterday's show.
Yes,
very highfalutin of you.
Well, you know, I don't like using outdated pictures, and neither does Claire. But that one that's in
culture.
My website.
You got some culture in you, Mike. You got some culture in you, and it's showing. Mike, I have a few points that I want to go over. I hope you'll allow me the time.
Sure.
Yesterday, Joe from Tennessee, he let us all know that he admires Trump for his support of nationalists in Europe and Israel. I imagine the nationalists in Europe, I can think of Viktor Orban in Hungary, but perhaps the leaders in Poland as well. Israel, okay, we're talking about Zionists. That's what Jewish nationalists are. Let me remind our friend in Tennessee that these Zionists are both war criminals and perpetrators of espionage against the United States. I mean, this,
yes.
In terms of the latter, their treachery has been going on for the past decades and has continued through the Trump administration. I think Joe has a short memory. You know, there was that little story about Israel placing spying devices, these stingrays, near the White House in order to engage in surveillance of cell phones. And what did this ardent nationalist, President Trump, do or say to Israel? Nothing. So if Joe can honestly say that Trump is a nationalist, he has a strange and unique idea of what a nationalist really is. I mean, yes, all former presidents have bowed down to Israel, but Trump, through his decision to move the embassy, recognize Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights, occupied Syrian territory, openly condone illegal settlement activity, and kill General Soleimani, he has taken that obeisance to a whole new level.
Yes, he has. And I think it's going to get worse in the second term.
Yeah, I mean, I understand Reagan did. I think it goes back, really, this bowing down to Israel goes back to LBJ. I think Kennedy was the only one that really had balls when it came to the Israeli state. But, Mike, also, Paul from New Jersey, and he's a very interesting fella, and I think the other guy who called, he kept calling him a bookworm. Well, you know what? I'm a bookworm, too, so I'm proud to be a bookworm. So I'm with Paul. But Paul referred to the low-life Erdogan in his weaponizing the Syrian they may be Syrian or not, these refugees against Europe. Europe not supporting his escapade in Syria. But, you know, I don't have any sympathy for Europe. They made their own bed. Now they have to lie in it. They went along or they permitted their political leaders to go along with Washington and London's regime change wars that devastated these countries, Iraq, Libya, Syria, and left the people with no alternative but to flee. There's nothing left in their countries. They've been bombed back to the Stone Age. So the Europeans, I believe, collectively are acting against their own interests. In the case of these regime change wars and the belligerent policy toward Russia, through the sanctions, the use of their territory for war games, placement of missile defense systems that can easily be transformed into an offensive first strike capability, the Europeans are really they're harming their own economies and putting at risk their own survival.
Yeah, they are. They've hoisted with their own petard.
So but I really again, have nothing. I really have no pity for these people, for the Europeans. You know, I guess. I mean, like, but here in the U.S., they're more interested in trivial things. But at least the U.S., we have separation. You know, we have the Atlantic between us and where these regime change wars are taking place. But the Europeans, they're facing this refugee deluge. So, you know, they have only themselves to blame.
Well, remember, it's not the European people who did this. It's the European leadership.
And yeah, but the European people are allowing the leadership to get away with it. I mean, Paul Craig Roberts said it best when he said he was working in government, and he asked one of his mentors who was in government at the time, why do these Europeans go along with the U.S.? Why are they such puppets? And his mentor told him, bags of money. It's that simple. Bags and bags of money.
All right. Well, Phil, got to let you go. Got to take a break for commercials. Back with more phone calls after these few words.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no wage, can't draw no pay. Unemployment getting worse.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And Fox News is now reporting there are 5 new cases of coronavirus in New York. So as it is right now, yeah, it's relatively few people compared to the world population or the U.S. population. The concern is if it's growing exponentially and can't be stopped, what it might be somewhere in the future, like, say, in 1 or 2 months here. All right, we're going to go back to the phones here to Joe in Tennessee. Aloha, Joe. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hey, what did Bernie Sanders call Netanyahu, a racist reactionary? Well, I'm sure
reactionary racist.
That's what Bernie would probably call me, too. I mean, I'm a white nationalist, but unlike some of your other callers, the guy before and the other guy in New Jersey, I'm a pragmatist. I'm not like a Trump derangement syndrome purist. I mean, I didn't like the fact that Trump is so pro-Zionist, but he's not lying. It's not like if you want to go truth in advertisement, he said he was going to move the capital to Jerusalem. There was no doubt he was going to be friendly to Israel, and I just would... Like I said the other day, that I support nationalist and populist governments, and in Israel, Netanyahu is more of the nationalist. I mean, he's strong borders. He protects his people. You know, I don't like it. I don't like what Israel's done over the last 50 years, but You know, they're a reality. They're in this world. And, you know, if you want to get power and get power in this country to close the border and do a lot of good things that Trump's doing, you're going to have to deal with the reality. I mean, and the fact of the matter is, Israel is a bit of a feedback loop for very wealthy American oligarchical Jews. So when you think that Israel does something, is it really Israel doing it, or is it with the tacit okay of the U.S. government and the oligarchical Jews in this country? I've known Israelis over in Israel, and they say, we don't run our government. It's run by a big, rich American developers and casino magnates. They own, like, they think it's fun to have four or five pet members of parliament follow them around when they go on their trips to Israel. So I think there's a lot of that going on. And when you talk about the seditious and the attacks and things like the USS Liberty, let's face it, Johnson knew about the Liberty. They were part of it. You know, so yeah, the Israelis do a lot of dirty work, and a lot of it's with the tacit approval of the United States. I mean, 9/11 the Israelis were involved in, but you can't tell me that the American government at the dark levels wasn't involved in it up to their eyebrows also. I mean, they get the Israelis to do some of these jobs because they know they won't be criticized by the press and the media and the it'll kind of tone everybody down to go along with the story because you don't want to embarrass the Israelis, hence another Holocaust, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, another incident of Trump derangement syndrome, and I really wanted to call you and discuss this because I've heard people call in about it before, and that is this whole thing about Trump being a chicken because he's a draft dodger. Now, just because you dodge the draft isn't because you're scared physically and you're a chicken. You know, a lot of people, I personally would, there was a draft, I wouldn't want to go into service, and it's not because I'm scared of getting shot and I'm scared in that regard. I just don't like being told orders by people. I don't like to be ordered around. It's that simple, you know? So there's a lot of people that dodge the draft because what's the point of it? You want to go in there and eat crappy food and be bossed around and told to go attack some hill or, you know, kill somebody? I mean, there are people that, you know, they like killing people and they want to go to get drafted. Or there's the other thing about it is to call them a chicken is just petty and childish in my view. Because, first of all, if Donald Trump or anybody like Donald Trump did get drafted, do you really think they're going to put him in a humping around as a grunt in the field? No. It'd be like Buttigieg. They'll be walking around going to cocktail parties or be on the military press corps or, you know, working. You know, my buddy got drafted in the Marines, and first thing they do is they put you through a test, and if you're real smart, you get a lot of options of what they want to do. He went into Air Corps for Marine Air for repair technician for the airplanes. So this idea that Trump avoided the draft because he was scared, physically scared, he's a chicken, right? He's a chicken, you know? It's really ridiculous and childish. And, you know, if you really look at the facts about what happens if you are drafted, he would be, you know, you get college educated guys that come from academies and stuff. They're not going to, unless they want to go and they'll go in as an officer. That's, you know, so this whole attitude, I've heard so many people talk about him being a chicken, he didn't want to get drafted. Well, once again, a lot of people don't want to go in the Army, and it's not because they're physically cowardly. I mean, to tell you the truth, to be the President of the United States has about 10 times the likelihood of you dying in office than you would going to serve in Vietnam. It's about 10% of our presidents get shot. You know, I think a little less than 10, I think 9% or 8%, because out of 45, there's been 4 that were shot and killed. So, you know, if your chances of going in Vietnam, I think there was like 3 million people that went to Vietnam and maybe 60,000 got killed. That's a lot less statistically dangerous than being president. So this whole thing about him being a chicken, you know, there's a lot more reasons not wanting to be drafted or go in the military. Like I said, for me, I might like hunting people down. I don't know. I just don't want to be bossed around and told that if I say to somebody, go F yourself, I'm going to end up in the brig. You know, is that rational and reasonable? Yes.
So, well, I'll tell you what's also rational and reasonable. A lot of people resisted the draft in Vietnam because they felt the war was wrong, that we didn't really have any business being over there. Now,
great.
I was very
good for them.
I was very lucky. I didn't have to face that choice because I had an occupational deferment. But I felt the war was wrong, and I was very glad that I wasn't. I didn't get involved in that.
No, I agree. There's a lot of reasons for not wanting to be part of the draft, and that's my whole point. I don't think Donald Trump is a chicken at all. I think that any most reasonable people would try to avoid the draft. I mean, why wouldn't you? Unless you, for some reason, you know, there were a lot of ways out, and even if you got in, if you tested well, you had options, you know. My buddy, they told him he could either be an airplane mechanic or be a first lieutenant in the Marines, and he said, "I'll be an airplane mechanic," and he said, "Oh, those." The class of 12 first lieutenants, he said only nine of them got killed because it's a very dangerous place to be a first lieutenant, you know, because that means you're going to be on the ground. And if you're not shot by the Vietnamese, you might get fragged by your own men because that was happening a lot over there. You know,
that was a big, big, big problem. Yeah, absolutely.
So,
there were all the exotic diseases people were picking up. I had a friend who served in Vietnam, and he came back, and I was in college with him, and he'd come back with some illness, and he wouldn't talk about it. Apparently, it was all very hush-hush, but he died halfway through that semester, and we didn't know what it was he'd had, but, you know, he was very loyal and obedient to the end. He never talked about what it was that he'd picked up in Vietnam.
It could have been Agent Orange, too, right?
Could have been. Could have easily been.
So, you know, like I said, that's I just don't like cheap shots, and I think calling Donald Trump a chicken is a cheap shot because it takes a lot of courage to even run for president of the United States, to tell you the truth, put your family through all that for a billionaire like him. So anyway, I'd like to respond also to that guy Phil in California. You know, this guy Salome that they killed, or Soleimani that got killed, my whole take on him getting killed is, if he got killed and blown up when he was in Iran, it would have been really wrong. If he would have got killed in Italy or in Rome, in England, I would have been like, that's outrageous. But the guy was in Iraq, and he was in Iraq stirring up trouble. So, you know, he's not like an innocent guy out, like, having a meal in Switzerland, you know? He's down there stirring up crap. So he's, you know, and he's a general, and it's a war, and he got it, you know? And this outrage I hear, it's like, oh, my God, the end of the world. Oh, God forbid. You know, what is this? You know, there is terrorism and war going on there. This guy should have stayed in Iran, and he would be alive, breathing air right now. You know, I don't think he was part of any Iranian delegation to Iraq. He was sneaking around, you know. So this whole attitude, I don't understand it. How many people like so defensive of this guy? When I first heard about him, I'm like, you know, that's going to stir up a lot of trouble. And then I said, well, he was in Iraq, so screw him. You know, I mean, he's up to no good. And I hear so many people humming and hawing and, like, you know, so much sympathy for this guy. Well, you know, let's face it. I think it probably not a mistake, but, you know, at the same time, he's no spring chicken, as they say. He's no little innocent, you know, bystander. I was a lot more upset when I'd hear Obama dropping bombs on, like, wedding parties in Afghanistan with the drone attacks and stuff. You know, that really gets me. But this guy Soleimani, the outrage I've heard about him, it's like, you know, enough. And the guy was up to no good. If it happened in Iran, I would be like, I'd be with you, you know. But once again, you know, all this outrage, you know, I'd hear it once in a while, but I never heard as much when it was Obama, you know, supporting ISIS and killing hundreds of thousands of Syrian Christians. And, you know, which has basically come to an end now that Trump's in, you know, and there really is a thing called Trump derangement syndrome. I've seen people that generally are very rational and pragmatic just go off the deep end, you know. Oh, we're not getting our wall fast enough, so I'm going to support Bernie who doesn't believe in walls at all. How's that? How's that for some logic, you know? But I hear it. And, I just don't understand it, because Jeff Rentz has been a big disappointment with that. I mean, the guy is like, it's like his pride is the better Trump does, the more hysterical he gets, because I don't understand it. So, you know, like I think I'm rational and pragmatic. Maybe I'm the one that's on the deep end. I don't know, but I just I try to be logical, and I can't follow some of this stuff, you know. But anyway, thanks for hearing me out. And once again, if anybody listening can donate to you guys, I donated last week, and I'll probably donate again next week. And I want to thank you, Mike, for this forum for everybody.
Well, thank you, and thank you for the donation, and thank you for the good words here. We're going to let you go and switch over to Paul in New Jersey. Aloha, Paul. Welcome to the show. Thank you for waiting patiently. What's on your mind?
Hello, Michael. Hey, Michael, you know, what do you think about throwing coronavirus parties for those who minimize the coronavirus? What do you think about that, Steve Elkins? What do you think? We can, you and Rush Limbaugh and Trump, you can all get together, and since the coronavirus isn't a big deal, we'll expose you to coronavirus, all right? Not a big deal. It's not so bad, right? Now, listen, it obviously is somewhat bad.
I spin the bottle.
Right. Now, you know, at LAX, I've told you about how the airplanes are still coming in from Asia, from Seoul, Korea,
yes.
Japan. And I'll admit this. I check up daily to see if the flights are still coming in. And as we know, and I guess this might be part of having Trump derangement syndrome, which I'm working out with my therapist. Donald Trump said in January that the flights were going to be stopped coming from China. So I checked with what's going on at the flight arrivals in Los Angeles, and there was, I think, one flight from China, so they're mostly reduced. But there were plenty from Seoul, Korea, Japan. Now, what they do there, this is kind of interesting. At LAX, I noticed a pattern, and it said, the planes coming in from Asia and some of these hot zones are landing at what's, it says, instead of a gate, it says TBIT. And then it turns out that that stands for Tom Bradley International Terminal. So it seems like they're segregating them and having them come in through a separate terminal, which might have stricter or better FLIRs, you know, the infrared cameras to check for elevated temperatures, and then lead them into the United States. But again,
well, you know, over in South Korea, they're actually taking the temperature of every passenger before they're allowed to board the airplanes.
Right, but as we know, and it's well established that, you know, they can be nice in normal temperature and then flare up as after they arrive and when they're in a crowd in the United States. Yeah. And this is the failure of the approach and just maintaining the flights as normal, except somewhat more segregated. But I will acknowledge they're at least sending them into one terminal in LAX. But what
okay.
I wanted to mention
have you been to LAX?
Yeah, once or twice, I think, when I actually flew to China, actually, back in the 90s.
Okay. Well, basically, the Tom Bradley terminal is another terminal, and it does have gates. It's just it's the one that's set up with customs and, you know, passport control, whereas the other gates are for domestic flights only.
Okay, but usually they wouldn't have that TBIT terminal on a lot of those flights, so maybe I'm mistaken, or thank you for correcting me.
Any flight that's coming in from another country goes to the Bradley terminal. They're not allowed at the other gates.
Yeah, okay. What I wanted to get in touch with, touch down on is yesterday, you know, with some of my detractors. I would just like to remind my detractors that the fact is that, you know, when I hired Donald Trump to be my president, we remember at the time he made his promises, and I believe that it is our duty to hold his feet to the fire. You know, the people who apologize for Donald Trump are actually not doing their nation a favor because they're aiding and abetting Donald Trump and his obvious propensity for procrastinating. Because if you notice, remember how long did it take to fire those people? You know, we heard about, what were they, in the Justice Department or in the one of the departments where he fired 70 of them, it took him 3 years. How long did it take him to end the war in Afghanistan? 3 years, remember?
Mm-hmm. Afghanistan may not be ended. That's something we're going to be talking about in a little bit.
Right. So to compare, like some of my detractors say, well, you know, who are you going to vote for? Joe Biden. Well, now that it's not Bernie, it's Joe Biden or it's Donald Trump. Well, so in other words, I have the choice between the turd Joe Biden and the sugar-coated turd Donald Trump. So I guess I'll take the sugar-coated turd then. But the fact of the matter is, this was the time to choose better men than even Donald Trump, because there are better men out there. They're just not running for office. They don't have the money. They don't have the fame. They don't have legions of cheerleaders. So I just that the apology. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Paul. Thanks an awful lot. We got to let you go and take a break from commercials. Back with more phone calls after these few words.
Hey, honey, I'm home.
I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're going to go right back to the phones to Andy in Texas. Andy, thank you for waiting patiently. What's on your mind today?
Well, hey, Mike. I take some exception to a gentleman that called three or four phone calls back. where he said the European people get what they deserve because they didn't do anything about it. Well, they were disarmed. They were, I mean, they had nothing they could do about it. So I would like to just, let's revert it back to where we're at now. We're in the United States of America. We're armed. We are the freest nation in the world as far as arms go. We're not free at all, but we're not doing anything about all the stuff they're doing to us. So this gentleman has, I mean, he's putting pressure on the people over there. Well, you get what you deserve and whatnot, but we're sitting over here and we're not doing anything. You know what? We're doing this, what we're doing right now. We're having conversation about it. We're talking about it. We're alerting people. We're letting people know what's going on. And yet we're not doing anything about it. This drag queen story time, this California is talking about, and I'm going to say it, I'm sorry, it's a family show, but they're talking about anal sex with young kids and whatnot. And we're not doing anything about this. We're not standing up. There's not people. We should be taking our guns and walking up to these places and saying, dude, you're just wrong. You're simply wrong, and we're not going to do this. But we're not doing that. Okay, so the gentleman, you know, 3-4 phone calls before, he's saying that these people got what they deserve. We getting what we deserve, too, because we're not standing up. We're not doing anything to stop what's going on in this country. We're talking about it. Cool. And guess what? It's not your job to yours or anybody else's job on the radio to organize us and get us together, but I mean, there's so many things that should put us together right now, and we should be rushing every government agency that has anything to do with making laws, and we should be pushing their butts out of this organization. They have no reasons, no rights, nothing. And so the Constitution is there. But it's null and void. And we can see this completely because it is null and void. It's simply null and void. It does come into play when they want to impeach a president. And we heard that several different times in the impeachment, that the Constitution says, you know what I'm saying? But when it comes to you or me going into a courtroom, the Constitution doesn't mean diddly squat.
All right. Well, listen, Andy, thank you very much. I still do not favor the idea of violence in the streets of America, but we're going to let you go for station identification. More phone calls after the top of the hour. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.